With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore now, and happy to be talking with Dan Epstein, who is running for Ward 2 City Councilor in the city of Gloucester. And Dan, first of all, thank you for inviting me, and welcome to MSO.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Okay, let's get started. First thing I think anybody always wants to know is, why are you doing this?
Well, I've always been really interested and concerned about public policy and the community that I live in. And particularly here in Gloucester, we have a lot of changes coming up. And for Ward 2, a lot of them are going to affect Ward 2 quite a bit. And as somebody who's spent a lot of time thinking about how public policies work generally, and very interested in our community, I feel like I would be a good fit for being on the city council to help deliberate and come up with solutions as these things come down the pike towards us, both from public policy, government mandates, as well as the changes that the economy is bringing to Gloucester.
I want to talk about your vision. Oh, I just saw your cat. What's his name?
Oh, that's Gorky.
Gorky.
There's two others.
All right. I'm a cat guy. All right. So I want to talk about the policy soon, but I want to ask you about local government because not knowing anything about it, being a longtime math teacher and doing this with MSO and WESX, casual interest in it. You read in the paper, and if I don't like something, then it bothers me. But in terms of local government, what is the role of a city council, and how, especially now that so much has been done remotely, what's the role of citizens?
Yeah, I mean, a city council has to deal with so many important issues that we interact with every day. As somebody who teaches political science for my career, you know, it's not often seen as, you know, flashy as something like, oh, who's going to be the next congressman or senator or obviously president. But as citizens, we every day deal with, you know, how are the streets? What are the quality of our parks? When I take my daughter to Burnham's Field, you know, where is she going to go to school in the future? Things like this. How does traffic work? And so a city councilor really has to be cognizant of the implications of what decisions we make now about how to arrange, everything from traffic lights to obviously development zoning, which I know is a big topic now, for how Gloucester is going to evolve as it changes in the future. And I think for citizens, it can be hard to get a real sense of what's going on in city council for city government, because most of the major news sources that we go to are sort of nationally oriented or state oriented and talk about, you know, this new tax reform going on Beacon Hill. But there's not nearly as much news today, at least, about local government. But it's something that we all have to take time and care about. It can be hard to find and seek out. I found especially as a parent, with, you know, between work and childcare and taking my daughter to different activities, it can be hard to really have the time to be able to engage with city government in the way that you need to do in order to both sort of stand up for your interests and really understand all the implications of the decisions that city government has to make. And so I think for citizens, I mean, it's good for them to certainly to be engaged with the local news outlets. But I think they also need to expect a lot from their city councilor in terms of representing to them what are the issues on the table. Because I think people on city council and in city government generally, but especially city councilors as representatives, they have that responsibility to try and make things more apprehensible and more easy to engage with for citizens who are often really busy, especially here in Gloucester.
One of the things I've seen, I don't remember what city councilor it is in Gloucester, but she puts out a blurb every now and then. I don't think it might be on social media, but I've seen it on emails. Will you be communicating with your constituents in one way or another?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if I'm elected to the city council, you know, I think giving regular reports on what's going on city council, I mean, the city council meetings are every couple weeks. And people don't necessarily want to read sort of, you know, a whole rundown of everything that happened. But the top issues, I think, you know, social media, Facebook is a very thing that I feel like lots and lots of people in Gloucester are engaged with. And I think that being able to talk to people in person, seeing people at local events, And holding meetings on some regular basis is important and worthwhile.
Okay, let's work from Ward 2 out.
Uh-huh.
Issues in Ward 2 and then citywide issues.
Yeah, well, for Ward 2, you know, in the time I've lived here, one of the main things that I've really noticed is just we need to have a little bit more attention to the quality of life and what our neighborhoods look like. You know, especially, like I said, taking my daughter to the different parks. Back during the pandemic, we were going there all the time. Now we go after school. And, you know, we need to have the best and most beautiful parks in Ward 2. There's no reason why we shouldn't. And there are issues from, you know, sometimes it's graffiti, sometimes it's just litter, sometimes it's things that no one has attended to in fixing. That, you know, Ward 2 deserves the best. And I think that that's an important thing when it comes to parks, when it comes to city streets, paving, when it comes to, you know, trash that blows around, you find, especially in the downtown. These are things that I feel like, you know, we need to stand up for Ward 2 and demand the best for our constituents, that we can have as nice a place to live as anyone else.
And what about citywide?
Well, citywide, and this ties into Ward 2 as well, you know, I think housing is this major issue. It's so difficult to afford a house, whether you're talking about buying a house or renting a house. You know, we were lucky to buy our house before the pandemic, but since then, you know, we wouldn't be able to afford a place in Gloucester. And that's true for so many people who live in Gloucester now. If they had to buy another place in Gloucester, they wouldn't be able to afford it. I see it. I work part-time as a bartender at a restaurant in town. And I have a lot of my colleagues who are much younger than me, many of them in high school or recently in high school here in Gloucester. And, you know, I think about, you know, where are they going to live? How are they going to be able to afford a place to live in Gloucester? In some cases, they might have to go to Boston to get the kind of high-paying job that you'd have to buy a place in Gloucester. And this is true in the rental market, I feel like, even more. I have a friend right now who is looking to move out of her situation. And she is lucky in terms of her rent, unlucky in terms of her roommate situation. And where do you find another place to rent? So people are kind of stuck where they are. And I'm really worried, concerned about the young generation. And are they going to be able to stay in Gloucester? Are we going to be able to keep the kids of Gloucester who want to stay in Gloucester? Or are they all going to be forced out while we just have, you know, more and more expensive real estate that only sort of outside investors can afford? So this is really something I'm concerned about, you know, and how to resolve that problem. We need some more housing in Gloucester. It can't all be in Ward 2. How are we going to manage it in terms of the infrastructure? We already need a new sewage plant. That's already coming down the pike. But we have to find some way to address this issue of making Gloucester a place where the people of Gloucester can afford to keep living instead of being driven out by these spiraling real estate and rental prices.
I'm curious, you have sort of a national, a big city municipal background, and yet you seem very, very local. How do you take all the stuff that you've learned, you've done, your teaching and so on, and bring that down to a local level in such a passionate way? Because obviously you're very passionate about this, and it's something that you feel you can be a real positive part of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I've lived in a number of different places. You know, I grew up mostly in Western Mass and Vermont in pretty small town circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then I spent a lot of time in, you know, the sort of Cambridge, Somerville, Medford area. I lived in upstate New York in a really very small town when I taught up there. But certainly, yeah, the issues that I teach about and thinking about, you know, how decisions get made, how different groups of people oppose each other in national politics or in international relations, and how personalities interact to either promote solutions or sometimes block and become obstacles to solutions. You know, I think we see at the national level, the United States, there would be so much common ground for moving forward on a lot of our national problems, But there has developed just such animosity, you know, between our two parties. And you can see that personality issues and how people cultivate their role, how politicians at the national level cultivate their role within parties and within government, can be really corrosive to finding solutions. And I think these same issues of how personalities interact and people's views of, you know, just the idea of compromise, which has become a dirty word practically at the national level, we can see these issues at the local level too. You know, I think there's a need for working together and compromise sort of across issue divides that at the local level I think I can be helpful with.
I always thought the definition of politics was the fine art of compromise. And that brings me to, I think, a final thought for me, and then I'll leave whatever you want to mention. In covering local municipal issues over the years, and I think especially in Salem and Beverly, Danvers and Gloucester, for many, many years, I never knew what party someone belonged to in terms of local government. I didn't know if the mayor was Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. I didn't know about city councilors, and that's changed. And that, I forget, Senator Bruce Tarr, I was talking to Senator Tarr, and he said the main thing from his point of view is, I think what you just mentioned, it's getting to know people on a personal level. And can you do that in a city this size, Ward 2? I don't know how big Ward 2 is, but I know you're going to be going knocking on doors. But you do listen, and I'm guessing it's really cool. I think as a part-time bartender, you must really connect with some people and hear some interesting stories as well.
Yeah, I know that's one thing for me that, you know, I've taught for a number of years, but I also kind of have a personality that is also interested in listening. A lot of my research has been listening and taking interviews with state legislators in other countries, basically, and thinking about how people interact with each other. And I think, you know, being open, having an open personality, being open to new ideas, rather than, you know, determined that, whatever is the set of ideas I've come up with in my little group, you know, or in the, you know, sometimes echo chamber that people end up in on social media, being open to something else is so important. Mm-hmm. And I do, as a bartender, you know, it's really great. I mean, I stand there at the bar and I hear what people have to say. Some of them are from Gloucester. Some of them are from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's their first time in Gloucester. And a lot of my colleagues, too, like I said, a lot of them are, you know, are younger people. People who I probably wouldn't have interacted with much if I were just, you know, sitting in a university classroom. Mm. And so, yeah, I mean, I think being open and being able to recognize what other people care about and how what other people care about is just as important as what I care about. And as you said, the fine art of compromise and taking account of what people care about, you know, and here in Ward 2, it's more geographically compact than the other wards, but it's got about, you know, 6,000 people in it, just as each of the wards do. And, you know, as like I said, walking around the ward, and as I take my daughter to the library, to school, to, you know, Burnham's Field is a current favorite, you know, going down towards Main Street, the fort, you know, that little playground over there, which is so beautiful, overlooking the harbor. Mm-hmm. You know, you just see people, and I think that's one thing that's great about Ward 2 is that there are more people sort of on foot, and there is more opportunity for, you know, seeing people on the street. You pass the same people maybe as you're going one way, you know, day after day, week after week, and you get a sense of them. That's one thing I really love about Ward 2 and living in, you know, a kind of a more compact neighborhood. I mean, since we moved in here, we have the most wonderful neighbors, and we've all gotten to know them. And, you know, I don't know if that happens so much in some of the more spread out areas of Gloucester, mm-hmm. but that's why I love Ward 2.
Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure we're still recording here. And the clock is still moving. That's good. Sometimes I never. Okay, I do have one more question that comes to mind. Funding in terms of city council, how it relates to the mayor's office, the budget and all that kind of thing. What is the role of a ward councilor in terms of funding? Because everything depends on money.
Yeah, well, I mean, the city council is basically the legislative branch of government, right? And so we depend upon the mayor and the city administration to carry into policy action whatever we as the city council, if I get to be on city council someday, determine is the correct direction for the city. And in terms of funding, I mean, we're actually blessed in Gloucester with a tax base that includes a lot of people who own very high value properties, some of them in really beautiful locations, and most of those people are fortunately in a position where their contribution to our city budget is something that doesn't squeeze them too much. And so we have the opportunity in Gloucester to have funding for a lot of wonderful things for our new school. The new sewer plant is gonna take some funding. There's gotta be, we've gotta dig deep in some cases. But the city council ultimately, if the mayor's office, we depend on the mayor's administration obviously for a lot of the information about the direct needs and the possibilities of how are we going to manage to accomplish this goal. But the city councilor in general has to provide important oversight and ask questions about, well, is this really the best way to do this? I think we saw at the city council meeting just on Tuesday this new possible regulations of short-term rentals. That, there are some good ideas out there, but oftentimes there needs to be more information. And the city council needs to be in a position to request and demand information and research on what our policy implications will be if we put this rule about short-term housing into practice as opposed to that rule. But then also needs to be really in a position to contemplate that research and those numbers and to look into it in a way that shows the perspicacity of, well, if we don't know everything, let's find out some research about how many rentals we have, how many of those take away from long-term housing. Mm-hmm. Is a cap on the number of days going to be the best way, rather than sort of coming to office with a preconceived idea of, I want this. We need to be able to be in a position to read and understand and ask the kinds of questions of the mayor's administration that will help us to know what we should allocate funding for and what is not such a good idea, and where if more funding needs to be forthcoming, what are the opportunities for that? My research experience and experience with political science and public policy, I think, puts me in a great position to be able to ask those questions, as well as being open to the information that could change my opinions.
Final thoughts?
Well, I just want to say that, living in Ward 2 and living in Gloucester in general is such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And, when I first came here, I remember walking around. It was the very night that we closed on our house, and I was here by myself because my wife and daughter were still in Texas. And it was amazing because the streets of Gloucester reminded me so much this is less than 5 years ago, of the streets of Northampton, where I grew up almost, talking about 30 years ago and more. Mm-hmm. And this sense of Gloucester's kind of heritage as an older Massachusetts town that has this character of, it's a city, but there's also aspects of it as a small town. And it just made me think that this is really a place that is so special that we do need to preserve the way that Gloucester is going to look and be going into the future. And some people feel like, regulations from outside or changing our regulations, that's going to change Gloucester. But the truth is, as we've seen with the housing market, there are changes to our society, changes to our economy. Those are the things that are affecting Gloucester. We discussed a little bit this idea about development, and the government can affect development in some ways, but regardless of what the government does, regulations, developers and their funders and investors are going to come in and they are going to, try and make the best deal they can out of what they can do in Gloucester. And so, trying to be able to balance the needs of the city, the heritage of the city, with how is the economy and changes in technology, how is that going to affect Gloucester, in ways that we can have a say in if we take a sort of a long perspective on our regulations and our ordinances for the city. As it says in the auditorium down at City Hall, build not just for tomorrow, but for the long term, mm-hmm. And that's what I think, I'm in a position that I've always been thinking about that in terms of my own work, in terms of, you know, my own direction for my family. And I feel like, you know, it's a great opportunity to put myself forth as somebody who can do that for Gloucester in general and for Ward 2 in particular, that needs the care and the tenacity to really focus on what we need for the future.
Thank you, sir. That's Dan Epstein, who is a candidate for Ward 2 City Councilor with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.
All right, let me see here. Northampton is at Massachusetts, so yeah. I went to UMass.